The Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball.
If Arsenal don't become attractive in that way that they're going to win European Cups, Chelsea will continue to attract the players and continue to become the most powerful team.
Subscribe to the Koi Gig Pod on the Off the Ball app now.
OTB's The Hurling Pod with James Skell and Paul Murphy.
Good evening, James Skell.
Here we are again.
And need we tell people that we are currently without our fearless leader, Will O'Callaghan. Yeah. Will is currently away again this week. One more, actually, to be honest, we spoke about it for the members. We will have Will O'Callaghan for the members pod. So yeah. The members who are subscribed, Will O'Callaghan will be back for the members pod. So it was just one pod too early this week for the free pod. So unfortunately, Will O'Callaghan not around this week, but Skell, we have enough to talk about anyway. So we should be able... I don't know if you actually got any feedback about last week.
Didn't. The only feedback I got was from my mother. And you can never take that as genuine feedback. Because it's just... Sometimes she can be too harsh.
Yeah, yeah.
Or too complimentary.
You're nearly actually afraid if she was being complimentary because you're like,
I
must have done really bad here. Because
you did mighty, as if just in tone. Oh, you were great. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Like it's talking into a microphone about hurling.
I will say though, I got off last week's podcast and I breathed a sigh of relief. That was trickier than I thought. And you were doing all the work. You were doing the presentation.
It was tricky from the point of view. Like we said this to Will, it was tricky from the point of view just realizing how do we go between games here? It's actually like, I mean, it sounds ridiculous to say, but you're like, I don't want to go, okay, well, that's enough about Clare and Waterford. Now let's talk about Tipperary and Clare. You kind of want to make it feel some way natural, but we didn't do too bad. We were hurling Friday night. We played Lemoore. And one of their selectors came over. I didn't actually catch his name. One of the selectors came over to me. And just straight away, like, you know, no talk of the game we had just played. It was a question of, hey, where's Will? What's the story? Like, you need him back. You did well, but you need him back. Like, you know, fair play to you. Well done. So yeah. I was like, I appreciate the encouragement that we didn't do too bad of a job. But again,
it's like when I go to the playground, right? I go to the playground with my, especially the youngest one, the 2-year-old.
Yeah.
I have to guide her. So I bring her over to the swing. And then she's going around in circles. And then I bring her to the next, Then I bring her to the next one. And I keep doing that for her, right? So yeah. I feel like, when we have Will, he just guides us from topic.
Oh, he's just guiding us. Yeah, he instead of just asking us bluntly, right, are you bored of talking about this? But we'll move on to the next match where we're borderline kind of, right, that's enough of that. On to the next match now. But thankfully, what he did do, he did leave us a few notes. So he is somewhere tapping away on his computer. And what I've actually, do you know the way you see Will, right, or when we do the pod, he is seamless with information. He's seamless with like just the introduction and so on. He sent me on, I think you got it as well there. Now, whether you looked at it or not, he sent me on his, like, for this show, what he's after putting in 5 pages he sent on to me of each game, of next week, of where the tables are, Joe McDonagh, Leinster, Munster, different permutations. And I was like, that's just this week. I was like, Jesus Christ. I was like, the work that goes into that. And two of us just arrive on.
That's top of the head stuff. Like,
oh yeah,
yeah. I'd be a solid 2 days looking for that now.
Oh
in fairness, like if I was to kind of collate all that information, first of all, I'm not sure it would even be right.
And that's second,
second of all, it wouldn't be as knowledgeable as this. Like he's everything. Yeah,
He's everything in it. He even has a little introduction for me. This is probably the nice little cue. Will I do the introduction? Will I put on? I can't put on. Will I put on?
You don't have the accent, no.
I thought you were going to say, well, I do an off the ball accent.
No, can you do
what's an off the accent? Just flat.
You can do the R's. Burr. Yeah. So you can do an off the accent there.
Tipperary's first month. That's not it. No, I don't. Off the accent isn't the first accent you're going to try and tackle. I'll just try and do a normal flat off the ball. What accents do they have? Like a neutral kind of presenter Dublin accent? I don't know what it is.
Yeah, anyway. they've got very polished accents, in fairness. You wouldn't know where they're from.
You wouldn't have a clue. I was actually shocked every so often when I hear Mick McCarthy, if he's listening to this, and suddenly he take off talking about Clare and he has a Dublin accent. He doesn't have a Dublin accent, but it's not what I would assume to be a Clare accent. I forget that the off the ball boys are from Dublin and Clare and Offaly and Clare and different places like that. But I think it's just when you get actually a professional voice in the media or in podcasting, Maybe if we say it long enough, it might actually happen. But
I don't know. I don't know what I'd be able to do that now. Not really. Want
I don't think people want you to do it. So
I like my tone. I like my accent. I like my my vernacular, my vocabulary. I like it, all of it.
It's part of your style. So yeah.
Can't fucking leave him.
Well, anyway, I'll get the introduction going because I'm sure there's people who want to talk hurling here. But for this weekend, thankfully, there's loads to talk about. Tipperary's first Munster Championship win in 748 days. Probably not the way Tipperary people will be looking at it, but it's kind of remarkable to say it, that it is their first Munster Championship win in 748 days. And it has the All-Ireland champions Clare on the brink of elimination from the championship. Shane O'Donnell returned for the banner, but Aidan McCarthy was a curious absence. I think you've seen that he lined out for Aina Kilnamona there at the weekend as well. In other areas of Ireland, particularly in Leinster, Kilkenny, Galway and Dublin look set to qualify from Leinster. 17 points from Cathal Mannion, which is remarkable, gave Galway a home win over Wexford, and Kilkenny and Dublin both 3 wins from 3 ahead of their meeting this Sunday. So at the moment, that leaves Cork on top in the Munster Championship with Limerick, both on 3 points, and Tipperary now on 3 points, Waterford on 2, Clare on 1 point. And in the Leinster Championship, Kilkenny are on 6 points along with Dublin, Galway on 4, Wexford on 2, and Offaly and Antrim yet to have a victory or have a result that takes points. But the main place to start, obviously, Skell, Clare 221, Tipperary 418. Like, remarkable. Now, I mean, the first half here alone, delve into it, but Tipperary finished with 4 of the last 5 points to snatch a Munster Senior Hurling Championship final lifeline. And all but eliminated Lee McCarthy holders Clare from this year's championship. Both teams had 1 point before going into this. But John McGrath and Andrew Ormond, to be honest, outstanding. Two boys, they were 12 clear at half, or by the 27th minute, they were 12 clear, 4-6 to 6 points. In fairness to Clare, they came back strong. Mark Rogers, for me, absolutely outstanding. Really kind of, I suppose, took the drive back to him. Tony Kelly in the second half as well, absolutely outstanding. Penalty, incredible. They brought it back to a draw. And I think you kind of got the feeling at this stage, you're like, this would be like Clare now to go and finish it out and see it over and get the win. But in fairness to Tipperary, like we said there, they finished with 4 of the last 5 points, which is just remarkable. And it's a fair, that in itself for me is a fair tip of the hat to Tipperary at the moment, that after being up by 12 points, okay, Clare come back into the match, but Clare come back and get and a draw. And next thing, John Conlon, Shane O'Donnell and the boys are on the field. Davy Fitzgerald comes on. But to get 4 of the last 5 points, absolutely outstanding. I think the manner of some of them points as well, like Owen Connolly's point was outstanding from play over in the right half, over in the right wing. Andrew Ormond, like a few of his scores were absolutely outstanding, but the timing of one or two of his scores in the second half were top class. John McGrath, again, just thinking of the flick, he was going into the corner. Can't remember, was he running with Connor? No, he wasn't running with Connor Lean. Run one of the cornerbacks, flicks the balls away, pops it over. The manner in which they closed out the game, I just think was really impressive. But the unanswered points, like I said there, John McGrath, Jason Ford, Owen Connolly, and then Sean Keneally just ensured a 4-point cushion that was lessened by Rogers free just at the end. But remarkable, really, remarkable victory. And to be honest, look, Skell, for me, I don't know what your view on is now. Like, I suppose after the league and after their performance, yes, we were saying you could see they were hurling really well, but for me anyway, I was waiting for this performance, not this one in particular, but a performance where you're saying, yeah, they have carried this into championship, that it wasn't going to be, we peaked too early in the league or anything like that. Like, this was just flat out a top class performance. But like, from your experience now, like 4 goals in the first half, realistically, you know, you're setting yourself up for a loss there, really. Four goals in the first half. Now they were just wide open. They were just taken to the cleaners altogether. But the manner in which they got them, like, you can't be doing that, really.
No, but like, the value of a goal in today's championship is more than 3 points. I think everyone knows that. Like, they're momentum swingers. And also, when you're in the ascendancy in a game and you swing a goal, and then you multiply it again, get another goal, it compounds the opposition's misery. You know, and it makes them ask tremendous questions about themselves, about what they're doing, you know, their setup, their personnel, tactics, everything. You know, like, when you get multiple goals in a short space of time, you know, it puts the knife to the opposition's throat, straight up, you know. And it's the type of game I was watching and I was saying, is this actually happening? You know what I mean? Because, like, I always think that teams that say they have to learn from errors, learn from mistakes, like everybody else. And Clare have been conceding goals consistently for the last while. And we've marked it down as an area that needed ferocious focus on behalf of Lauren and his team. And they haven't corrected it. And when you see the way the goals were conceded, it wasn't even, how do I say it, you know, a tactical masterclass from Tip that open clear up repeatedly. Yeah. It was kind of simple enough stuff. Like, I'm thinking about John McGrath turning on Conor Lean there, coming the sideline. That one, you know, the one, let's say, where Andrew Armand's first goal, I think, whereby there was just no trackers back. My notes in, as I was watching the game, I wouldn't associate this with Intercounty Hurling, to be honest, writing this down. I say clear defence, shocking, not tearing back for the Tip goals. Like, you know, if a team is coming back at you or coming towards your goal, you head back as fast as you can to the black spot in the crossbar and mind the house. Mm. It's as simple as that, you know. And like all good teams, if they're championship based, they start in their defence. It's that. You can go to any sport, Murph. You can go soccer, hurling, rugby, you name it. The first place you go is defence. If you have a good defence, you're always in with a chance and you're going to be hard to be beaten. Whereas Clare yesterday, particularly in the first half, were a team that were quite easily beaten. And they opened up. And so I can forgive a team letting in one goal, right? And maybe even through it, maybe even a second for whatever reason. But she's third and fourth, lads. That has to stop. You know, you have to stop the rot. The space that opened up in the centre of Clare's defence, which I'll touch on right now, for me, I don't know. You and me are not privy to the information in the Clare camp. Okay, we have stories, but the John Conlon one kind of surprised me. I would always think if you're fit enough to put on the boots and be a sub, you're fit enough to start.
Yeah, I'm probably better off starting as well.
Yeah, and like if you come off, fair enough. But at least if you come off, and if he somehow made a contribution to show up that defence to stop two of those goals coming, has his contribution been massive?
Yeah.
I'm not throwing shade at his replacement. That's not whatsoever. But I'm just saying when you've the level of experience lost in Cleary, and then you take out Conlon, and you're already missing Ryan, you know, like your defence becomes very, very porous. And like, someone texted me saying that the Clare defence had five intermediate hurlers, which is not a slight, but I'm saying it just lacked a bit of high intense atmospheric pressure, you could say, on the Tipperary forwards, which was worrisome. But if you took a look at the performance as a whole, it was like in the second half, I was there thinking, is this going to be a rope-a-dope performance? You know, like Ali and Foreman, where Tip just threw everything at Clare. Clare absorbed it and they were able to come back, but they just had enough in the tank. I just think it was too much of them. They did great to fight back, you know, and it shows a sign of the mentality of that panel, of that county, you could say, per se. Yeah. It just wasn't enough. And like, that's where, and the question I'd always have over Tipperary, and again, was the character of their forwards. So can their forwards, I say, when things get really hard, you know, and Clare were had every ball in their half back and half forward lane, could the Tip forwards make it happen? And they did.
Yeah.
You know, they did, especially in the last few minutes, particularly what we were saying about the last couple of points.
Yeah.
You know, you're in a great position. It's easy to do things well when you're flying high, 10, 11, 12 points. You know, everybody is confident and the tail is up. But when a team claws you back and you're against a breeze and you're struggling your own puck out, John McGrath, you know, Ormond, look, even I'm just pointing towards, you know, Seamus Kennedy, all these players come up.
Yeah.
From Jake Morris, highly, highly impressive.
Yeah, Jake Morris is outstanding. Yeah.
I will say, and I'm not going to say it too early, I will say he's in all-star form. Not because of his major scoring exploits, but what he's doing around the place, the belts he's taken, the flak he's taken.
Yeah.
Which I wouldn't associate. And I'll be honest, 2 years ago, I said he wouldn't be able to take those.
Yeah.
He's in the forward lane, but he's taken it now.
I would have always, like Jake Morris, I would have marked him before. He was always a lad. I always have a kind of a shining for fellas who maybe, they don't grab the headlines. We'll put it that way. Like, I mean, they're forward there, but they get through a lot of gritty work. They're very consistent. If you look at Jake Morris's style, like you'd nearly, if I was in Tipperary, be saying, look, what players would you look at there? To tell a young fella to look at the example of how they nearly do everything. Like Jake Morris makes the ball stick the whole time it goes in. He's very good at just getting the ball in hand, making it stick and turning it into something. You know, a lad off the shoulder popping it. He got a great point in the first half. And again, I would say to lads of an example of this diagonal run where the play was coming across the field from the far side. Tipperary were moving it up. And Jake Morris provided one run that was going diagonally, well, let's say away from the camera, kind of going towards the left corner forward position. And he broke through one or two tackles, but he took the ball at lightning speed and into the hand, created the space. And like his striking as well is outstanding. Okay, he'll hit a few wides here and there. Isn't it? Yeah, like it's outstanding. And again, it's funny.
He's two-sided,
yeah. Like his balance and his skill, his speed is outstanding. And again, it's kind of one of those days where he was outstanding, but nevertheless, we're going to talk about Andrew Ormond and John McGrath because again, lads arrive on with two goals.
4-4 between them.
Yeah, no, 4-4. And to be fair, John McGrath, thinking of the one the first half where he put over the bar, I think that was for his third goal. If not, maybe it was for his second goal. I think it was for his third goal. But again, it was symptomatic of Clare switching off. And quite a few of them were a situation where it was that thing of Tipperary ghosting in behind. And if you think back, I'm even thinking back to last year, Limerick played Clare in the Gaelic grounds, in Cusick Park in the first game. Do you remember Garrod Hegarty's goal? I think he did score a goal off it, or did he set up
Donegal O'Dolig.
But yeah. You remember it was just a case where the camera's on the ball, and then suddenly when it zooms out, the ball's gone in, and here is Hegarty in on his own. Yeah. Nobody had followed him. There was a lot of that yesterday, which I found strange considering over the last 6 weeks or so, we were talking about, you know, people were talking about Adam Hogan and different players saying that they're hardy and, you know, maybe playing on the borderline, but wouldn't you love to have them on your team? Whereas we didn't see any of that really over the weekend, which I couldn't get my head around. But credit to Tipperary as well, from the point of view that they didn't wait to see what Clare were going to produce. They just came and performed. And when they sensed blood, they just kicked on. They were going, listen, you know, whatever's in front of us here, let's go, let's win. They put up 12 points, outstanding. A point I'll come back to as well, which I think I want you to deliberate on or give your views on, is Aver Quilligan. I felt sorry for Aver Quilligan because I was just going, what can this man do in the goal? But a point just to make it now, and we'll go back to Aver Quilligan, was last week we spoke about, I just had this thing ringing in my head of, okay, Cork go ahead by Clare by X amount of points, and then Clare 12, reined, 12 again, and Clare reined them back in. But symptomatic, like we're saying with Limerick last year, where we said, you can't keep doing that because you can't keep giving teams this lead. And I think it's fair to say this is what Brian Lowen would also be saying to the Clare lads anyway, is that, lads, you can't do this. Like, you know, yes, we're outstanding at coming back at teams and we never give up and brilliant, but why give teams this start for whatever it may be, lack of concentration or whatever, I don't know. And again, we're not privy to why they started that way. But to come back to Quilligan, like in that situation, I saw quite a few people even just talking about it, just saying, you know, they feel very sorry for Aver Quilligan because he is not. I saw John Fogarty actually saying it yesterday that he was in Cusick Park and he was just saying, I feel sorry for Aver Quilligan here. He has nothing to do with this four goals going in the first half. And there was very little he could do. And he actually made a few saves as well, but there's very little he could do.
He did. Like, so now at this stage, Aver Quilligan is now an experienced goalkeeper. Okay.
Yeah.
If he was in his first year, I cut him an awful lot of slack, but like in those instances, we've all been on the back ends of flipping hammerings, right? But if you concede one goal, it's one thing. Concede a second in quick succession, there's trouble. So I would always use the phrase, you have to stop the rock morph.
Yeah.
That's where you actually abandon, right, your setup, your defensive setup. At that time, you pull everybody back. And if Tip score 2 or 3 points in that time frame, that's absolutely fine. But we can't get him score 4 goals in a single half. So by our count, let's say he got, if I'm including the John McGrath one that you referenced that went over the crossbar, I'm including that as a goal shot, lad, right? So obviously he saved a shot that went in a rebound. So for him, he faced, you know, six goal shots, very, very threatening goal shots that resulted in 4 goals, of course. So 6 goal shots is too much for, I would say, probably the entirety of 3 championship games. At this level, if you're taking 6 real threatening goal shots, like that's trouble. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can get snapshots every now and then, but 6 goal shots, way too much. So like, I just think in future, and I think he'll learn, you know, if that happens ever in future again, you just stop everything. You stop everyone. Someone goes down and you pull the whole lot back. See, we saw Peter Duggan, didn't he, chasing back for one of the goals?
Well, Peter Duggan, for John McGrath's, was it the first one? I think it was his first one. I'm just trying to think of the manner. Sure, the four of them in my mind. I'm trying to think which order they went in. But it was basically John McGrath went down the line.
From McGrath's second goal, I had Peter Duggan.
Second goal, yeah. So Conor Lean was chasing them in and Peter Duggan was back there. And that was the thing. It's, you know, we see how potent Peter Duggan is down the far end. And in fairness, you know, you do encourage this thing of, look, if you see danger, you go back and you track back. But I think the reflection of, I wouldn't say it's bad on Peter Duggan that he was back there. I would say it's more, again, symptomatic that more players weren't filling that gap that he shouldn't have gone back there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, as in, if it should have been a half-back midfield job to be that far back. You know, we'd often talk about when you're dealing with teams, the half-forwards coming back in towards that midfield when you're not in possession to maybe cut off runners, cut off a ball being recycled. And if you're needed to come towards the 45, 100%. But when you see your, I'm going to presume Peter Duggan was on the half-forward line at that stage, he moved around. But when you see him in the full back line.
That's the problem, Murphy. When I'm watching Tipperary forward, this is what you get now with a good forward unit. And I've been behind forward units to do this. They're 15, they're 13, 15, 10 and 12, right, will move all over the pitch, right?
Yeah.
And if you have a man-marking situation like Clare often do, okay, you open up major gaps in their defence.
Yeah.
So often we hear, you know, the oldest one in the book, Murphy, is you put out your centre forward, try to drag out your six. That's the oldest one. But like, what Tipper were doing was they were pulling Ormond left and right, creating big, massive channels. And then Clare didn't help themselves because they were given so many balls easily into the Tipperary halfback line uncontested. That allowed Tip to just launch a wave of attack and platform. And you can see numerous times in the first half yesterday, whereby the likes of, you know, Maher gets it, Romero, whatever, and they're there looking to see where's the perfect ball and they deliver it. So they had time as a striker, and then they had space to contend with at the back. They are two terrible ingredients for defeat, to be fair, for Clare.
Yeah.
So, like, for a team as experienced as they are, when you're missing players like Ryan, Cleary, Conlon, you know what I mean? Even look at, I can put O'Donnell and Fitzgerald into that, because those players, when they're there, I just don't think that happens as fast or as easy.
Yeah. Particularly, you know, with Conlon, I'd agree with you there. Yeah. Cleary as well. Yeah.
I just think Cleary would just be hold the middle. If Lavin went off the corner, let's say he contested him, of course, but he wouldn't allow Les to come waving through the middle like that. Now, if John McGrath is coming in, John McGrath, I'd imagine, if Cleary was there, would have been met.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know what I'm going to say now?
Yeah.
He'd have been met well. And if it's a free in, fair enough. But I just don't think there's that. Like last year, you can see there's times in Clare's big games whereby they were just bull rushing back to their house, to mind the house.
Yeah.
You know, and like four of the Tipperary backs were booked, none of the Clare backs. That's a sign in itself, I always say.
Well, Rory Hayes was booked, and I was only thinking about it.
You're right.
He was booked for...
That was stupid, though.
No. Jesus.
The value of the yellow card on a cornerback, right?
Well, this is it. I'd be looking at any time I see a cornerback, whatever about a wingback or anything. Like I saw Sam O'Farrell getting booked and a few different lads, grand. But cornerback, particularly in the first half, you're going, if it's towards the end of it, and like these are small things, but they do allow you to approach the game differently. Like, as in, once you're in the last 15 minutes, if you're on a yellow card as a cornerback, you can still go, right, well, look, even if I get sent off here, the team won't have to go too long without me. It's not a 70 minute or 60 minute or whatever. It's not that long they have to go. Yeah. But I was looking at Rory Hayes and he came on, and I just went, like, he was in. Conor Lean wasn't even off the field, I don't think, at that stage. And I just going, you just gave away, like, Jason Ford will be happy out to take that yellow, because he's going absolutely fine. Jason Ford is probably going, I'm trying to empty the tank here. And if 55 minutes in, you know, Liam Cahill is looking to sprint over that finish line, it's generally a corner forward, wing forward is going to be one of the lads coming off to keep that attack going. So like Jason Ford is going, I just have to keep it between the ditches here, where Rory Hayes mightn't have a choice in the matter. And might have to, you know, foul somebody going through. And I just think it's such a silly yellow to give away. You can go in there and hit a fella a jostle, there wasn't digging or anything like that. But it's a silly one where you're just kind of wrap around the fella and hit the deck. And the referee then just has to come in. Owens just has to come in and go, sure, I have to book both of you now, because whatever that was, but it's, I don't know. It's just a silly one. Like, I can't.
But do you think Clare, like this year, we can talk about McCarthy as well. Just the whole thing has been off, hasn't it? The whole thing has been off. There's been something off about Clare this year, in the sense that there's been no fluidity to their play at all. That's coming and going. McCarthy didn't show up for his club on, was it Thursday night or Friday night?
I'm not sure. I saw the picture. I'm not sure what day it was. Yeah.
But and from what I'm hearing, was low and was dropping him out of the match day squad. And then McCarthy just said, right, I'm gone. Good luck.
Yeah, there's been a few. I heard something similar to that, but again, I suppose the first thing we're saying is that's what we've heard. It's speculation.
Oh, yeah.
But the big thing is just it was an elephant in the room yesterday. Like, Aidan McCarthy is an outstanding forward, and has been involved, you know, very heavily this year. So just seeing him absent, and then like the very notable piece is just that he did hurl for Aina Kilnamona during the week. So like that, now I didn't see it mentioned too much in the media, so you don't really know what to read into it when it's not mentioned.
The fact that there's a picture of him playing with Aina Kilnamona, okay?
Yeah.
And he's playing, shows that he's physically able to play. So injury's got nothing to do with it. So it has to be either form-based or a personal issue. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't lean towards a personal issue. Again, I'm raising my eyes, you know, but I haven't
done tattoos every day.
So it looks to me that obviously he was being dropped off the match day, team or squad, not fully sure. And then he said, right, I'm out the door.
Mm. Yeah. And like that, like, I mean, it's fair to make that assumption from outside. And the thing is as well, like to say about it, like as a neutral looking in, like whatever it is that has resulted in him, let's say, not being on the match or the match day panel or whatever, and potentially maybe saying, okay, well, I'm not going back in. Like it's just unfortunate, I think, for a lot of people, including himself, including Clare supporters, just because I'm sure it's not something he wants to do. I'm not sure it's not something the Clare supporters want. But whatever has happened that brought it to the stage, like it's remiss of us not to talk about it, because Aidan McCarthy, it's no more than, okay, Tony Kelly is another generational type player. Aidan McCarthy is an absolutely outstanding player. You'd imagine when that game is in the balance, having an Aidan McCarthy there, does it tip it in your favour? You'd imagine him possibly does. So I'm sure that's certainly one. You know, obviously the fact now that Clare are staring down the barrel of being out of the Munster Championship, there's permutations there. I've seen three today. I was reading the Examiner and they have three in there. But realistically, the permutations at this stage are very much, they need a lot to go in their favour. It's not a case of, you know, one team loses and they win and that's it. They need quite a few in their favour. So they are staring down the barrel of relegation at this stage. Or not relegation, apologies. Just not qualifying. Just
elimination. Like,
but
like,
elimination,
when,
yeah.
To be fair, like when you look at the results that have to go their way, like, I know I spoke about the probability of them not being being relegated in the league. You know, I'm probably as high a percentage. I'm probably on 90-95% the fact that they're going to be eliminated.
Yeah. Well, that's fair to say.
An awful lot of things have to go in their favour and go against other teams, which is... What kind of percentage chance would you give that to happen? It has to be, you know.
Yeah, it does. Like, it does. Well, when there's three permutations,
to happen, actually happen, you know.
Yeah, yeah, and like a lot of. Not, I'm not going to say there are no real strange results in Munster because it's so evenly balanced. But a lot of results where you would say that the favourite would need to lose in different situations or different scenarios, or the form team, should I say, need to lose to let them through. So look, at the moment, I'm sure Clare fans, they'll be certainly clinging on to hope and hoping that they can somehow find those results. So look, one of the things we'll say with Clare is we can wait and see over the next few weeks, but I suppose it's probably important to give the last word to Tipperary on this. Like, it is, like, it was an outstanding win. Tipperary now standing on 3 points, three played. Like, one win, one draw, one loss for Tipperary. Like, you know, it's I'm not going to say it's an unusual batch of results, but it just goes to show you, like, you couldn't drill into the Cork one, and we didn't drill into it that week because, again, Darren McCarthy being sent off. And look, there's another player that's going to come back. He has his ban served now, so he's back for Tipperary. But to get those results and have themselves on 3 points, again, at the start of this round robin, regardless how the league went and even the league final, I'd say they'd take your hand off to go, yeah, if we're on 3 points and we're in with a shout of a Munster final here, never mind qualifying, they're looking going, we're in a shout of a Munster final here. Tipperary supporters would be delighted. And to be honest, for me, like, I just think that they have that energy at the moment whereby whatever it is, whatever's to happen to Tipperary this year, they're going to sustain the fight now. They look fresh. They don't look like they're picking up injuries. Like John McGrath, who maybe by his own admission, I don't know, he has extremely high levels and extremely high standards. Maybe hasn't hit them over the last few years. You know, hasn't started that much for Tipperary. Outstanding the other day. Again, another fellow who I'd say that blast of confidence will do him the world of good now, bring into the next few matches. The likes of Andrew Ormond, young man, you know, that'll bring him on a huge amount as well. And I just think all over the field, like Ronan Maher is a fellow we haven't mentioned. Again, did a great job on Pádraig Maher, or not Pádraig Maher, sorry, Pádraig Duggan. Peter Duggan. Jesus, nearly got there. Peter Duggan.
He did though, yeah.
Did an outstanding job, do you know? And again, I just bring it back to the fact that because two lads ended up with two goals, we probably talk about them a bit more, but you could look all over the field at Tipperary and just say they were really good. And that, one of the last points I want to ask you, Rhys Shelley on the goal. Like, Tipperary do seesaw between Hogan and Shelley. How would you rate his performance? Again, because for me, it looked like he had a good performance, but puck out wise, which is obviously instrumental for Tipperary, was there much of note to take from his performance?
I think so, not hugely. I think the reason he's put in there is probably because of his short mid-range puck out range.
Yeah.
So like, I would have thought Hogan was I suppose, publicly speaking, coming out of Tipperary, there was always this, you know, summation that Shelley had a better, you know, 21 yard to 60 yard, let's say, puck out than Hogan. But Hogan then was better on certain distance, and then Hogan was better shot stopping.
Yeah.
You know, so like when you're into a pitch like Cluzie Park, where it can, as I said before, it plays tight. I know people might disagree in terms of dimensions, but when you're on the pitch and as a goalie, there are pitches that play tight. Shelley's range, especially in the second half, and there was ones in the second half there when they were crunch time Murph, right?
Yeah.
And they were 30, 40 yards, and you had to nail them. Against the breeze in a tight parameters under pressure, he nailed them. He nailed them.
Yeah.
You know, so for me, I'm thinking if I'm looking towards reasons as to why Cahill and his management team put Shelley in, for me, the number one reason is his mid-range puckout. So when they went against the breeze, especially in the second half, he was able to nail those puckouts. And he's got plenty of distance too, don't get me wrong. Goals, look, very little chance on the goals, to be fair. Not a lot I can do. So his performance as a whole was a very positive. Like, it was an 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, like, it was very good. So, I couldn't even tell you now, is he in goals for the rest of the championship? I don't know.
But that's the thing.
Seesaw so much, I don't know.
Yeah, it's one of the things I just find so interesting that with Tipperary, that they just seesaw between the keepers, depending on, it just appears to what they need on a given day. Is it the case that, okay, these short to mid-range puckouts are the case, and then debate between which goalkeeper is better, shot stopper, etc. But they, it doesn't seem to upset the apple cart too much that they do seesaw.
Well, like, if you look historically, right, you'd say there's certain positions in a team that you would never change or alter, barring an injury, of course. You'd say a fullback, you'd say a centre-back, okay? But you'd also put goals in that position too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There are three positions you would say, right, if you have your people, you'd never change them regardless of, you know, if the performance up and down a bit.
Yeah.
You know, and then probably lads in the inside for four then. Everyone else can move, chop, change, okay? But in Tipperary's mind, that they've taken that goalkeeper position out of that bracket.
Yeah.
They're saying, look, you're just like a part of our overall panel. Whoever's playing best or suits our game plan or game style for this game is in. Because I don't think Hogan's at the bed. Like, you can't judge him on the Cork performance. You're a man down. You cannot judge him on that.
No, you can't. No.
You can't. And even the type of goals they conceded, sure, it was a wave, Murph. Do you know what I mean? There's not a lot he can do on that. So I think specifically, if I'm looking for a specific reason, it's because of his mid-range book out. And it was positive. So if you've got two goalies that you can use in your arsenal, you know, for particular game plans, great. Super stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and without missing a beat, great.
Yeah. No, it's outstanding. And I think for Tipperary, certainly think from their panel that they'll be looking at, like they've have gained a huge amount from this Munster Championship in terms of the rotation of players. Like during the league, they used quite a few players, learned a lot about them, few debutants mixed with that experience that's there as well. But I think they'll be really happy with how they've come through. Like they're staring into the last game now, which will be next weekend, their last game against Waterford at home. On Sunday in Thurles at 2 o'clock. That game is on RTE. But I think they'll be really happy. Like going into their last game in Thurles as well. We spoke maybe last week about Waterford, saying Waterford had their two home games done and dusted, and now they're out in the road. Like again, they're small things, but they do, I suppose, feed into your preparation, or I suppose feed into the camp. Like they're, when Tipperary are going back, for me now, going back to this Sunday against Waterford in Semple Stadium at 2 o'clock. Like when you're trying to pick between this, and we'll get into it on the members pod, when you're trying to pick between where do you think who's going to win this game, etc. Like it does matter that it's in Semple Stadium. Waterford won't mind it, but Tipperary now have their backs up. You know, now they're going, lads, we have a chance at the Munster final. And if we go into this, granted, some of the teams that they'll be looking at next weekend that'll be playing after will be playing their third match. Tipperary will have all four matches played, and they'll be able to watch then and see, okay, well, where is this going to land for us now? But Waterford next week, we'll get into it on the members pod. Waterford next week, Thurles, 2 o'clock. That's on RT. Like that's going to be a mighty game again, because Waterford have something on the line here now. They're looking to look after their own house as well here. Yeah, that'll be a great match. We'll get into that in the members pod. We also have Limerick and Cork, which will be on the Gaelic grounds at 4 o'clock. Both of those games are actually on RTE. So, great day next Sunday in terms of sport.
I love them days.
Well, this weekend has been unreal. In terms of, look, I know you don't like football. I don't.
Hold on. Not that I don't. The new game of football is better, right?
It's good. Yeah.
I just think hurling is better. That's all.
That's fair enough. I'll put it this way, since we're talking about a great day of sport, like next weekend, next Sunday, two Munster Hurling Championship matches on RTE. Like two big football matches, in fairness, this weekend. We're not going to, disclaimer for everyone now, we're not going to drill into football. Don't worry about it. Like, in fairness, I came home today, like matches yesterday, you watch all the matches, and then you find out that there's a big scrap at the end of Donegal and Armagh has gone to extra time. Big scrap at the end of it. You have a look at it.
I saw it, right?
Yeah.
And your man that did the Gordon, he deserved a clip.
The Donegal boy.
Did you see the incident?
Yeah, he ran over to this. He ran over to the bench. Yeah.
He gives it the big in front of the Armagh bench.
Yeah, Armagh boy comes out.
Listen to me. I know people say it's wrong. It's assault. I don't give a shit. He deserved the clipping.
Well, you're there. You are. Like, I mean, the bottom line is, and let it be a reminder for anyone who wants to go Gordon. If you're going Gordon someone and you're going getting up in their face, you're also putting yourself out there for boxing the jaw. So, like, yeah. I mean, it's hard.
You missed a word.
Well,
I deserve it, boxing the jaw.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you can't, like, in fairness, the Armagh boys down in the dumps there after losing the Ulster Championship. And if you run over to the bench and you're actually up in their face, it's one thing to be celebrating on the field, grand. And okay, yeah, he was still on the field at this stage, but running over to the bench to deliberately go, I'm not even going to celebrate with the Donegal lads. I'm just going to go over to wind up the Armagh lads here now. Puck in the jaw. I think it's, like, again, we're not promoting it, but
I will digress for a moment. We played a club championship game this year, right? And this lad got a goal on me, and it was about 5 minutes left, right? He put them 3 points up and he came right in on top of me and started screaming in my face. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the people around the place have been saying, I don't know how you held your nerve. But the reason I held it was because there was 5 minutes left.
Okay.
That was full time, okay? He was getting it, right? Yeah. But didn't we go up and score 1-3 in the last 5 minutes?
Ideal.
And I didn't go over him and go to him. I just started laughing at him. That would make it worse. But then the rest of the guys in the room started going up. So I was like...
Yeah.
So if it's in play, hold your nerve. After play, let rip.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Yeah. But it was a great weekend of sport. It was absolutely class. And then hopefully next weekend. Now we have a few games next weekend, but the football, like, again, I don't know if you saw it today, but Louth won for the first time since 1957. Did you see that?
I tuned in. I was on the playground of the Three Kings. Lord God, that was hard work. And then I came home, right? And I turned on the television and it was 66-36. Okay.
Okay, yeah. I thought you were saying that was the score. Yeah, go on.
Loud held the ball for the whole game. For the whole 4 minutes. Fuck this. I said, I'm not watching this.
That was the last hint of the old rules for lads. Yeah.
800,000 hand passes later. I mean,
the thing was they conceded a goal in about the 64th or 5th minute where they were trying to do that. They lost the ball at midfield. In fairness, Meath blitzed them then. So it was a risky game for them to do it. But they won in the end. So that's just the main thing for them.
I'm moving the mouse up here to the X, okay? If we stay talking about football.
I'm just
logging off, okay?
I was going to say, why are you going to do X and something out? No, okay. We'll bring it back to hurling.
We better move on to the best championship of all, surely.
There's only one championship, surely.
The Leinster championship.
And there's boys pulling their hair out here, as we said.
We can't say the straight face.
The only place, as I said at the start, Galway, Kilkenny and Dublin with wins. I suppose the first play to start out is Galway and Wexford. Like, probably the pick of the bunch, really, between the games. We'll touch on Dublin and Antrim in a moment and Kilkenny and Offaly. Look, for the latter two games just mentioned, there wasn't a huge amount really in them in the end. I think people were hoping, obviously, for a lot more, particularly with Dublin and Antrim. Haven't seen them over the last few years. Been fairly touch and go, but I mean, Dublin were just so impressive. But look, again, Galway 129, Wexford 216 in Pearse Stadium. I have to say, first of all, like, I mean, Colm Mannion, 17 points was outrageous. Started unbelievably well. Like, it was very apparent that he had quite a bit of space. And like, when you leave him in that space, particularly when he's at centre forward, like that close to goal, he was just picking off points really early on, and it was putting a serious dent in Wexford's challenge. Now, Wexford, in fairness to them, even though they gave Galway a bit of a lead, they fought back and they fought back. I was actually very impressed by their two goals. Their two goals are actually really well worked. And the first thing I thought about was, you know, when we saw Wexford during the league, it was hard to see them even producing, I suppose, play like that. You know, like, they just weren't even showing that. The likes of Rory O'Connor being back obviously is a huge difference. Lee Chin again back as well. But I just felt Liam Ryan as well at the full back line. Like, I mean, it's huge having him back in the first place. And it didn't even seem like that he'd missed a whole lot. Came out with a few great balls there in the first few minutes. But, you know, once the game really got into the swing of things, Galway just kept him at arm's distance. But I do have to say, like, okay, Wexford fans would be disappointed. They don't have points on the board after the game. But, you know, I think from your point of view now, this is going to be a Galway man giving a Galway opinion. Do you think Galway have improved now over the last few weeks? Do you think there was much to take from this performance, or where does that performance lie in terms of going, particularly after the Kilkenny game, where does that performance lie in terms of going, okay, that Kilkenny game might have been a blip, where we are improving and we can take things from this? What was your overall assessment of it?
Yeah, so I think in terms of the level of opposition, I can't judge Galway just yet. On, let's say, all evidence shown that was shown yesterday, it said they are improving. However, I do believe if they're playing a team of a higher level, like Kilkenny again, I still think you see issues. Now, I still am disappointed with the manner in which we conceded the two goals.
Mm.
They were letting him far too easy. And I'm picturing the second goal more where O'Connor takes on Gavin Lee and Gavin just lets him by him. Do you know what I mean? He should have been wrestled down, and ends up in the net. And in these kind of games whereby all the analysis and all the statistics point towards this being a hammer. So the distance between the scoreline at the end, right, was reflective of all the analytics. So, for example, there's three big ones I often take, Murphy. I take the shot count.
Yeah.
Right? The shot count was 40-30 in favour of Galway, right? But the shot count from play was 28-19. That's a big gap now. 9 shots from play is a big gap, right?
Yeah.
But then the turnover battle was 34-26 to Galway. And also the puck out sim. So I judge teams when you go past your own 65, how many puck outs can you win? Wexford only won 3 beyond their own 65 in the whole game.
Yeah.
In the whole game. They lost 12. Do you know what I mean? So that shows us a sign of a team that can't win primary possession off their own puck out when you have the ball.
Yeah.
Joe, you contrast that against Kilkenny below Nolan Park. How many times did Owen Murphy poke the ball into the opposition half forward or our half back line? Kilkenny's half forward and win it. Loads of times, right? So I have to be realistic here. Answer your question, I'd say they're slightly improving. But defensively speaking, I'm still not content with the manner in which we conceded the goals, right? Now, from an attacking perspective, everyone will rightfully point towards Cahill. He's got 235 now scored in the championship. He's top scorer. I think he's got like 115. I had written down earlier on, he's 115 scored from play, you know, in the championship. So he's 16 or 22 shots from play scored, right? Which you'd say is awesome shooting. But it's like, I just don't like it, Murph. It's just too much. And you might say, what are you talking about, right? But what happens the day he's marshalled? What happens when Ronan Maher comes on like Peter Duggan and he's marshalling to, let's say, a couple of points? He scores his frees, of course, right? But those 6 points in play mightn't be six, it might be one.
Yeah.
You know, that was the concern. That's why I like to see the forwards being more involved. You know what I mean? Our full forward lane scored 3 points, our half forward lane, Bianca Hall scored 2. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, was that enough? When you consider the stats were firmly in our favour.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good step. It's a momentum builder. It's a positivity builder inside in the camp.
Mm.
But there's loads of work to do. Like, we're nowhere near the finished article. I think also if you go and face Dublin now, and Antrim is coming, don't get me wrong, but if you face Dublin the last day, it's most likely a decider for a Leinster final spot. Most likely.
Yeah.
So will that performance yesterday be good enough to beat Dublin? I'll tell you now, it won't be. Not a notion. Because the energy Dublin will come will be far higher. Mm. And I don't think you'll get the same level of puck out win in our own half in the opposition book out that we had yesterday.
Yeah.
So sometimes when I speak about Galway, I can go one of the two ways, Murph. I can be overly positive or I can seem like overly negative. I'm firmly in the middle here at the minute that I'm very happy with the victory as a Galway man.
Yeah.
The manner in which you won it was okay. There was 2 or 3 points and back to a draw. I said, this should be out of sight. This game should be out of sight. You know what I mean? Yeah. We scored one goal. That's one that's actually concerning me. We only scored one goal. Our goal getting at the minute is not hectic against good teams, right?
Yeah.
So that's a concern in big championship games where you go along. If your shot count is 40, Murph, right? 40 won't be enough to win your championship game without the presence of goals, okay?
Yeah.
Because you'll come across, and when you exit Leinster, you'll come up against Kilkenny again, and you'll come up against Tipperary and these teams in, let's say, the quarterfinals, semifinals, and you're going to need 45 shots. And of those 45 shots, you're going to need at least 3 to 4 goal shots to hit your magic, you know, 28, 30 points. You need 30 points nowadays because all the big teams are getting them, Murph. So if you hit 30 points, okay, out of 40 shots, I mean, that's a 75% success rate. Nobody has that percentage. Nobody, not even Limerick.
Yeah.
So that means we have to up our shot count, but get goals at the same time. That's what I'm looking at, thinking it's grand now for the moment, right? But coming down the tracks is bigger tests. Bigger tests with better defences.
Yeah.
Better defences, let's say, signals less opportunities. That's why I'm looking at it. Yes, the 2 points on the board, absolutely fantastic, move on. But I'd like to see, if I was to summarise the victory, I'd say conceding goals too easy. More spread of scores. I say we need more influence from our forward line in terms of scoring.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then goal chances. That was areas of focus I'd be taking away from that victory yesterday. But look at where I was this time 4 weeks ago, Murph. I was in the doldrums after the Kilkenny game, thinking, "Oh my God, are we going to actually get out of the group at all?" You know, that podcast was a very hard podcast to do on a Sunday. You know what I mean? Not because it was with yourself, but because of the performance that we produced that day. It was so lackluster and so poor. No fight. I was thinking, "Geez, we're this early exit." But look at. All signs yesterday were decent, but lost to work on the set.
But you were saying there as well, like the goal try. Okay, Conor Cooney got the goal for Galway. But like one of the things, I'm just trying to think off the top of my head, did Whelan come away, Conor Whelan, did he come away with a score? I don't think he did.
No, he didn't score.
No. Like, it's curious for me.
Did he have a shot, Murph? But did he have a shot?
But this is my point. I felt like I've marked Conor Whelan several times. And when you're standing with Conor Whelan on the 14 or the 21, you're like, this lad is dangerous. And when the further he gets from goal as a cornerback, as a defender in general, you're thinking, brilliant, keep going. And I just see a lot of the balls. And again, this is obviously something the Micheál Donoghue and lads will be looking at, I'd say, is that when Galway have been, like, let's go back there 2 years ago, when Galway were playing Limerick in the All-Ireland semi-final, and like, put in a really good first half. No, really competitive. Or any of those times where Conor Whelan has been winning All-Stars, well, he probably has about 3 at this stage, I'd say, I mean, maybe 4. He's a few All-Stars. But if you think about, he's won them in the full forward line. Don't think he has won in the half forward line.
No,
he's won them in the full forward line. And any of those years, he's been really potent. It's been kind of at that full forward position, darting left and right, you know, 20, 25 yards, winning the ball, being able to take on his man, or popping the ball off the shoulder. And for me yesterday when I was watching it, and it wasn't, this was before you even said anything now about, you know, the goal threat, as I was watching it, anytime I saw him picking the ball up, it was picking the ball up, moving away from goal, looking to bring someone else in. Now, that's not any slight on Conor Whelan. It's just an observation of how he's being utilised at the moment for Galway. And I'm thinking that way, that if Galway are to be at their most dangerous, like him at the edge of the box, for me, is where they have to be if they want goals. He's like Conor Cooney's... Sorry, was that?
He's a high ball option.
Oh, he so is,
how many, a question for you now. How many teams do you see nowadays trying to play the perfect ball into the corners? All of them, right?
Yeah.
But then how often do you see where a man is on the edge of the square at 14, high ball poked in, pandemonium?
Yeah,
just create that.
Yeah.
But teams aren't doing it. But like you check the consistently best team over the last number of years has been Limerick, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the, I'm not saying in terms of stature, one of the smallest lads they have in the team is Glenn, you could say.
I was only thinking of him, yeah.
Not overly tall man. That devil goes up and gets the ball like it's pretty simple. You know, so they don't utilize his height. They don't look at his height as a disadvantage. They say he is technically good enough to win a high ball, no problem. Whelan's the exact same way.
Yeah.
Concannon's the same way. Pump it in every now and then. You know, because goals are going to come either one or two ways. A, a penetrative run, or B, ball and square.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just, that was my concern for Galway. Like the two runs that came, or the two goals rather that came from Wexford Murph were two penetrative runs from O'Connor, where he took on the man. So Cork at the moment, penetrative runs are taking one. Whereas that goal chance, that goal we got was Kevin Cooney turning his man, heading for goal. Mm. That is not happening enough in my book.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm concerned. For Whelan, I don't know. He just seems to be, and like I love him as a hurler. He just, in the last 18 months, he just seems to be stuttering. Right?
Mm.
He's not had full, like it's like the choke is pulled. He's not had full throttle whatsoever.
Yeah.
I don't know, is it positional? Is it personal? Is it mental? Is it physical? I can't put my finger on it. I just can't. Mm.
It's hard to know though, like, because like I mentioned there, you know, 20 minutes ago about John McGrath, that like over the last few years, he hasn't really hit the heights that he did previously. Let's say go back to 2019 even, where he was flying it. And like, you know, it's very hard for players to keep that consistency, particularly when your standards are very high, to keep that consistency over many years. And for many of those years, when you think about it, there was performances there where Conor Whelan was like at times the only man holding, carrying the can for Galway, let's say in certain matches, not all of them by any means. Like, I mean, Doughty and Olibyes and Croagh McInerney, obviously, you know, were absolute monsters as well. But there were so many times there that, like, he was keeping the show on the road that, you know, when he drops his standard a small bit, we kind of go, that's not the Conor Whelan we're used to seeing. And it's kind of, I suppose it's nearly more of a responsibility for other players to come into the game a bit more, that they create more of a threat whereby it's not, lads, who's looking after Conor Whelan and we'll worry about the rest. Now, in fairness to Concannon, I thought he was actually a really good game as well the other day. He was on quite a bit of ball and I think he's a really good forward, Concannon. But yeah, look, I think just for Galway going forward now, it is a case of, I suppose, just getting that mojo back. But if I'm right in saying they have Dublin away.
Yeah, Antrim at home next week, Murph.
Antrim at home. And look, I mean, I saw Davey mentioned the comments over the weekend. He was interviewed by Off the Ball and I know you had said it there where, look, you're not writing off Antrim, but kind of Davey also mentioned that at the weekend where he said, you know, we're going to Galway, we're missing a few lads, we'll do what we can do, but we're not expecting a whole lot. So, like, I mean, I know you're not saying anything about Antrim there, but Davey had kind of mentioned it anyway. So I think, yeah, you're right. From your point of view, Dublin, that performance in Parnell Park, like, that could do a lot for Galway, in fairness. And that's not to be condescending or anything like that. It's just saying that if they went and put in a serious performance against a Dublin team that we'll touch on in a minute, a Dublin team that are performing really well at the moment, you know, you could kickstart something from there. But again, we'll have to wait and see over the next few weeks.
Where you're heading now, let's say, Kilkenny are playing Dublin this week at home, isn't it?
Yeah.
So let's just say Kilkenny win that game, right? Kilkenny will go on to 8. They're definitely guaranteed Leinster final. They can't get caught.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it comes down, Galway will beat Antrim. So if you can north the head-to-head Dublin for the Leinster final spot. So there'll be Leinster semi-final in 2 weeks, two weeks time.
Okay.
Which after Galway's first loss against Kilkenny and Dublin, with the way they're, the manner in which they're winning out, was always going to be the case at this stage. So that's a tough game, lad.
Yeah.
So like, I know Antrim are coming to town, but you have to kind of keep, with the greatest respect, you got to keep the foot in the throat, lad. You got to keep things moving. You got to rack up a score.
You do.
You got to get your forwards going. You got to set targets within the game itself, regardless of opposition. You got to keep a clean sheet, lad. That's the first thing. You know, keep a clean sheet. Then you got to flip and get all your forwards on the score sheet. We only got 4 on the score sheet yesterday. I was 6.
Mm.
Got to get all your forwards. Got to get your midfield in the score sheet. You know what I mean? You got to dominate aerial ball, etc. So they're the little kind of mini targets when you're playing teams that you know you're going to beat. You have to set. So that's what I want to see, because they're the kind of things you're going to need in the following week against Dublin in Parnell Park, where it's going to be tight and hot. And you know yourself, Heatherton inside the square, big man, ball's coming down high, lad.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, ball's coming down high. Curry's on form.
Yeah.
Hard group to stop right now. And yeah, they don't have, they have momentum. And sometimes I heard a phrase before and it was so right. Sometimes believing in what you're doing is more important than what you're doing. Right, yeah, now, Dublin believing exactly what the mantra and the way that they've been set up by their management team, they believe it all out.
Yeah.
So now they're in the perfect mental mind space, you could say, to go out and just perform. So there's no baggage, there's no fear, none of that shit. They're heading for that itself is a dangerous animal to take on, especially at home.
Yeah, no, geez, absolutely. And I think from Kenny's point of view, like if we look at the other two matches, like Kenny hurled well. I know people will say, okay, yeah, Offaly, where are they at the moment? Screeny's injured, etc. Yeah, completely understand that. But Kenny played the game well. Notwithstanding that, though, you know, Offaly did rally towards the end as well. Did they get two goals, which some people are saying, we have one or two comments this week, just people saying that Offaly and even Antrim were able to run at Kilkenny's goal, etc. I think sometimes in these matches, and it's not to play it off or anything, there's sometimes in games when you kick on and you're ahead. Kilkenny were ahead by, you know, let's say at seesaw between about 10 points to 12 points to back and forth for quite a bit. They were out in front for quite a long way. You know, sometimes it's not excusable, but sometimes the tempo drops. But nevertheless, we've also seen Offaly do this against Waterford as well in the league final. So they are capable of coming back. But I just see on the stats here, I kind of find it hard to believe this one, but we'll put it in, so it must be completely true. Offaly haven't beaten Kilkenny in 30 years in the provincial series, which I find, I'm just trying to think back, like that's going back into
30 years.
I'm just thinking of all the games I would have went to up in, now I know, yes, in the All-Irelands, I'm thinking 98, they bet Kilkenny, the All-Ireland final, yep. But I was just trying to think, like, I mean, all those games I would have went back to with Kilkenny and Offaly and Wexford, back around, like when it was really competitive in around the 90s. Yeah. I just find it hard to believe that in 30 years, Offaly haven't beaten Kilkenny, which is just remarkable. I know over the last few years, okay, there was a bit of a slip and a bit of a decline, but I just find that remarkable that back then, during those days, it was obviously a case of, I would know I was young, but Kilkenny beaten Offaly in the provincials when they would have come across them. But then, like the 98 All-Ireland, for example, and I remember in 2000, okay, obviously Kilkenny won and they won the All-Ireland. But it's remarkable to think that the quality of teams Offaly had back then that, you know, Kilkenny just got over the line over them in the Leinster Championship.
Yeah, so we're talking Offaly won the Ireland 94, didn't they?
Yeah, that's the year Brian Whelan won the Hurler of the Year. Did win an All-Star? Yeah.
What a crock of shite. But like, what we're saying is, what we're saying, he's gone back that far. I know he's 30 years in 95, but he's gone back that far since Offaly beat him in the provincials.
Yeah.
That's a crazy amount of time. Like in terms of team turnover, Murph, right? You'd probably say that's at least 6 or 7 teams turned over in terms of personnel. That's some amount of team turnover.
Yeah. And like in fairness, they are closing the gap. Like, you know, it's no doubt with these minor and under 20 teams that Offaly have had over the last few years, you know, they are closing in that distance. So look, it'd be interesting to see over the next few years. I know Will would absolutely love to listen into this and weigh in, and I'm sure he would give more of an expert opinion than us. But look, again, look, it'd be healthy for the championship, for the Leinster Championship in particular, to see Offaly back flying it. And again, even Wexford stepping back up to the standards they used to have as well. So like hopefully over the next few years. But Kilkenny 425, Offaly 216. Again, Kilkenny made all the running in this game. Early goals, Mossy Keown, Adrian Mullen in the second half. TJ came away with 2-9, which is, look, regardless of what team you're playing against, it is, you know, great shooting, to be fair to him. Kilkenny do have home game against Dublin next week, and they have Wexford away, which Kilkenny against Wexford in Wexford Park, regardless of how Wexford are going, Wexford hurl better against Kilkenny. They fly it. So that game in particular, like, you know, if you're looking at Wexford currently at the moment on 2 points, we'll see how Wexford came. Wexford.
So, I just have to, for the people who listen to the podcast and don't see it, right, I have to kind of paint a bit of a picture here. So when Murph mentioned Wexford, regardless of the going, he closed his eyes, squinted them, looked down as if to say, these fuckers, whatever it is about the Black and Amber,
coming
to Wexford, they come alive.
If you speak in particular to people down around, let's say, Mullinavat direction, down around the borders, New Ross, Tullher, all these directions, they will speak of the rivalry down around there. There's a big crossover down there, healthy rivalry. But like when Wexford come to Wexford Park, doesn't matter, or Wexford Park or Nolan Park, it doesn't matter what has happened in the championship before, Wexford just how well. But it's great. Like, I mean, it's brilliant because you need that. We're talking about wanting excitement and different things. It's fantastic when you go and you play Wexford, regardless where it is. They don't care about playing Nolan Park. They obviously love playing in Wexford Park. that you know there's not an easy coming from them. And I think, you know, Kilkenny need as many of those games as they can possibly get. So, yeah, look, Kilkenny will fuck. But they have to win, yeah. Yeah. But look, I mean, if Kilkenny have any serious intentions over the year, you know, you have to go and beat Wexford. If you have intentions to get to an All-Ireland final, let's say, and that's what Kilkenny will be saying. They'll be saying, listen, we want to win a provincial, win our own All-Ireland semi-final. If we win the provincial, we'll have our own All-Ireland semi-final and we'll get to an All-Ireland final, see who we meet there. And that'll be the path Kilkenny have in their head. But like, you can't then not be saying to yourself, well, oh, it's excusable then to go and lose to a team. Or like, you have to go and beat everyone in front of you. And Wexford will put up a serious challenge. So look, yeah, we'll worry about that one when it comes. But Dublin are around the corner next week. So Kilkenny and Dublin's on Sunday. Again, we'll get into it on the members' pod. Sunday at 3 o'clock in Nolan Park. Before we finish up on Dublin and Antrim, Wexford are playing Offaly in Wexford Park at 5 o'clock on Saturday. And Galway are playing Antrim in Pearse Stadium at 1:30 on Saturday as well. That's the only game that's going to be televised from Leinster next week. So it's going to be on GAA Plus, the game between Galway and Antrim. But look, just, I suppose, briefly, and we'll also just touch on the Joe McDonagh before we finish up as well. Antrim and Dublin. So again, I don't know how much you saw this. I watched...
I saw zero of it. Shut up.
Okay, well, I was watching it. Yeah. I think I watched... I'm not sure what the overlap was. My mind is boggled from watching hurling over the weekend. But Sean Curry, in fairness to him, outstanding performance. 12 points, 7 from frees and 265s. Keane O'Sullivan, 1-3. Fergal Whiteley with 1-1. And Ronan Hayes with a goal. Look, from watching Dublin, they just look really organised at the moment. Again, we didn't see the performance from Antrim whereby... Dublin's game plan and their tactics were really stress tested. Dublin got into an early lead and really just brought the game out to a lead that I just think Antrim were never going to really bridge. Look, they took charge of it early and were pretty much out of sight at the break. And
I checked the score. Obviously, there's a score line there, the match info. You could say on one of the apps there, so you can get a feel of how the game is going. Like, and it was a clipping mark, right? And I tell you, the only thing I saw was the Antrim manager's interview after the game, right off the ball.
Yeah,
which I have to comment as an ex-player. I can't let it go without commenting, right? Regardless of who it is, okay. I have to comment. If that was my manager and he spoke the way he spoke, I'd be livid. I personally believe it, right? Because he was basically absconding himself from all blame. He portrayed himself as going up and doing Antrim a favour because one of his friends asked him to.
Yeah, I saw that.
Now he's got to the stage whereby he's second-guessing now because the driving's taken a lot of him. I mean, fuck's sake. If you're an Antrim player who's training, if you're coming from Dublin or coming from whatever county to go up home training, you know what I mean, working hard, and you hear this kind of bullshit of your manager, wouldn't you be just livid? Like, would you ever hear someone say in one of the top-tier counties, the manager say that? Never. You would never hear it.
I think one of the things that was... not to say disappointed about it was, Antrim are just in a tough place at the moment. And there's a kind of an ownership part there where you can just go, look, I mean, at the weekend as well, they didn't have Keelan Malloy, they didn't have Connor Johnson. McNaughton got sent off. I think, look, the game was over and dusted at this stage about 10 minutes to go. But it was that kind of element of saying, like, one of the comments which I found a bit kind of strange was that they won by 15 points, but he was saying that it was more of an 8-point victory or 10-point. It wasn't a 15-point. When Kilkenny were in town, Kilkenny won by 18 points. He said that, you know, they missed 6 goals against Kilkenny, or they had 6 goal opportunities. Like, that's as close as it was, while paraphrasing, that was as close as it was to what he says. So it's just kind of disappointing to see there. Yeah, look, I completely understand Antrim are in a tough position at the moment. Look, McManus is not there. Obviously, he's there in the backroom staff. But, you know, a few players have stepped away, and he was out of the services, as we said, of Keelan Malloy, Connor Johnson, and a few more, as he pointed out. But yeah, like, at the same time, you can't just start saying, look, the drive is... you know, it's tough, you know, and playing it down. It kind of pretty much wrote off the Galway game. I completely understand that a lot of people will say, look, the Galway game, of course Galway are going to win it, etc. But, you know, when every game is an opportunity to do something, every game is an opportunity to say, well, look, we're going to show character and we're going to attack that game and we're going to, whoever we have, instead of just basically kind of writing it off, which I just kind of felt like, don't write it off, like, you know, as in the players are going to go home now tonight disappointed. They're going to wake up tomorrow and they're going to go into the well to try and go, right, we're back training Tuesday night or whatever night we're back training. Let's get back there and let's, you know, get the show on the road and let's go put in a performance against Galway. And who knows? Let's just see. Like, who knows? Like, if you look at the weekend, and again, this is not taken away from other games. Look at the weekend. Kildare weren't expected to do anything against Carlo necessarily in terms of a win. Kildare go and beat Carlo. Now, I know people will say, people might know much about either of those teams, But Carlo have been putting in serious performances. Carlo bet Watford earlier in the year. Like, every game as a standalone, if Antrim went to play in Pier Stadium next week and put in a performance that kept them to 5 points towards the end, let's say, okay, you'd be here pulling your hair out and you'd go, you know, geez, Galway, whatever, fine. But from an Antrim point of view, you could go to that and go, geez, you know what? Like, there's something here. There's a flicker. And, you know, it mightn't happen for us this year, but, you know, we take everything we can and let's bring that into next year. But I just felt, again, it was just this thing of, like, dismissing, you know, we don't have this
year. It's a cop-out, though. Like, did anybody expect Antrim to finish with 4 points last year? I didn't. I didn't expect them to beat Wexford at home last year. They did.
No, yeah.
You know, so, like, I just find it very, very... The word I keep you come back to is disrespectful.
Yeah.
Like you're saying about lads going back training now on Tuesday night, it's very hard to go in there. And go back to the phrase I mentioned a minute ago, Murph. Sometimes believing in what you're doing is more important than what you're doing.
Yeah.
So right now, your manager's not believing in what you're doing.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? And so, like, he's absconding himself from all blame. I just think it's terrible. It's so disappointing if you're a player who's trying. And yes, things are tough. Don't get me wrong. But when it's tough, you got to be tough with it. But don't point the finger and absconding himself. And it's like there was a cry. It's like he was trying to put out a public message, you know, that, oh, I'm doing them a favor. It's not me. It's taking that on me. I'm fulfilling a role that I didn't want to be in the first place.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I leave it in a year, next year, the after. Like, it's just... Mm. The minute they go off, he's going to board. He's going to board.
Yeah.
He will.
Yeah. We'll have to wait and see what it stands. But no, to finish, I suppose we can't leave it without finishing on Dublin. In fairness to Dublin, look, great performance out of them. They've really, I suppose, I'm not going to say since the Nafian lads have come back, but since they have their full complement and we can see what they're about, they look to be improving in every game. Like, they could only play what was in front of them at the weekend, brought it out to a 12-point gap, and extended it by three just at the final whistle again. Again, named a few boys there were really outstanding. Sean Curry, we saw Donal Burke come on as well. Donal Burke went off injured, so he came on. I believe it was the shoulder injury is what kind of kept him out for the last while, and he seemed to go off holding the shoulder, if I'm correct in saying as well. So look, that'll be a disappointment for them, but maybe hopefully it was something cautionary that they were saying, look, we're up by 12 points here, we'll bring him on, see what he can do. And if there was a little bit of a dunt, a little bit of a niggle, well then maybe it's best to take him off. So he didn't go off in full, complete discomfort, but you could also see that there was a little bit of discomfort there. So to finish up on Leinster, Kilkenny now after three games, so all teams after three games, Kilkenny on 6 points with Dublin, Galway on four, Wexford on two, and then Offaly and Antrim just bringing up the rear. Before we finish at the weekend, it'd be remiss of us to mention the Joe McDonagh. So there was the big shockwave from the Joe McDonagh. Kildare 223, and Carlo 120. Again, huge performers from Kildare in Netwatch Cullen Park. Brian Dowland, Kilkenny man, was over Kilkenny Camogies for the last few years, like really highly rated manager. I'll just throw that into it as well. Brian is a great man. No, he is, in fairness as well. But like, it's a great achievement for them. Like, we've seen the work. Again, another Kilkenny man, David Herity, was with them over the last few years. They had a great league. I'm trying to think, was it last year they had a great league? And they What's that?
You've opened the door for me there now, Steve.
Go on.
You know where I'm going next now after you mentioned the name there.
Oh, yeah. We're sure we can get back to that. Anyway, yeah. But anyway, Kildare, Kildare 223, Carlo 120. Great performance, in fairness, from Kildare. And you could see, look, I mean, I was watching it on the Saturday game last night, just what it meant to the Kildare lads to actually get that win. But again, now, when you look at the other results, Laois 5-28, Kerry 1-21, James Duggan 5-2, and all five goals in the first half. Like, I mean, absolutely outrageous. And Westmeath then were 2-24 to 20 points winners against Down. The fixtures then for next weekend for the Joe McDonagh. On Saturday, we have Westmeath are playing Carlo, and that's in Cusick Park in Westmeath at 3 o'clock. And Down are playing Kerry in Ballycran in Down at 2 o'clock. And on Sunday, Laois play Kildare. And at the moment, it leaves Joe McDonagh with Laois currently on 6 points with a score and difference after the weekend of 67 points in their favour. I think Laois will be happy now because after seeing Carlo again, they have Carlo coming up. So Laois will be happy that they're on top with 6 points. Carlo with 4 points, Kildare with four, Westmeath with two, and then Kerry with two, and Down then currently with no points on the board. But Skell, I'll come back to you now because I know I mentioned a name there that you texted me about yesterday. Go ahead.
So in terms of Kilkenny's history, right? Who has been Kilkenny's biggest rivals? It has to be Tipperary over history.
Hmm.
So Henry going to Galway was one thing, right? At least they're in, yes, they're in a different province, of course, and they're in the same competition, but it just, it, the same kind of hurt wouldn't apply as going to Tipperary. David Herity, where is your mind space?
Well, you, so context to this, so you text me yesterday, was it, it was after the game, did you, you must have seen him on the telly, was it?
Saw him, this is what happened, saw him, paused it, rewound, is that him? That's him, paused it, rewound, is that definitely him? That's fucking definitely David Herity. And he's wearing Tipperary colours out. Oh, God. This won't go down well.
Yeah, yeah. No, so Herity, once he finished up with Kildare last... Oh, no, sorry, not last. It was the year before. I'm trying to think. My years are all muddled here. Herity went in as goalkeeping coach. Now, I'll leave this open for Herity to correct it. But my awareness was that he went in as goalkeeping coach last year. Would I be right in saying Paddy Maher stepped away at the end of this year? Or sorry, the end of last year. Yeah, so I think from my understanding then was that Herity is on the coaching staff. I don't know if he's selector exactly, or but he is on the main staff for... But look, Herity would speak to you about it. And I mean, he'd speak to you, to you know, quite openly about it. Like his ambition, he was involved with Dublin Camogie. Again, done great job up there. He was involved with Kildare for 5 years. Herity is a very ambitious fella and has his own ideas of, you know... Of what way he wants to coach in different things. Like, he's such an organized fella in terms of what he wants to do. And he would make no bones about it in terms of looking for opportunities in different places, i.e. for in terms of a coaching opportunity that would suit him. But yeah, so he's with Tipperary, and look, sure, again, like, best luck to him. Obviously, I don't mean best luck in that I hope you go and beat Kilkenny, but he's like, that's his style, and he's off tipping away with them. And from what I know, he's enjoying it down there, and then they're enjoying it with him. But I think I told you with this one, though. They said the one about... we had a reunion there on, we had a reunion in December, and sure, look, we had the 2014 reunion, and Herity had trained the following day with Tipperary. And sure, like, again, just grand, bit of crack. Herity went off and whatever, but Brian couldn't make it. And Brian rang me a few days later, and he was just like, listen, geez, sorry, I couldn't make the reunion. Do you know, it's just Christmas time. I was like, yeah, Jesus, no hassle at all. But he was being very apologetic that he couldn't make it. He was saying, look, you know, I'm sorry, I'm away. And I said, look, you don't have to apologize. Sure. I said, Herity had to go away earlier because he had tip training the following day. God, he goes, oh, Jesus Christ, don't ever say that to me again. So look, it is what it is, like, you know. But yeah, look, I mean, a lot of lads, I think, you know, it's an interesting thing on this. And we'll go back to even say it about Henry with Galway. It's very much a personal thing. Like, if I said to you, would you go and coach Kilkenny, or would you go manage Kilkenny? You might say yes or no. And let's say you said yes, for example. I'm not saying that that's what you would do, but you said, yeah, I would. And you go to Aidan Hart and say, Aidan Hart, would you go manage Kilkenny? No way. No, it's very much a personal thing. And for a lot of lads, whatever with Tipperary, if I spoke to any of the lads that I would have heard before, some lads might say, yeah, I'd understand why you go manage Galway. Mm-hmm. Another lad would go, no way, I wouldn't manage outside Kilkenny against the team that would compete against Kilkenny. That's very much in the same category of, would you go and coach with Tipperary? Now, I think actually, I don't know if you'd agree with me, or I think managing Tipperary, like for the Tipperary people as well, I think that'd be a big kind of, gee, right, that's a different step altogether. But I don't know, coaching-wise.
It's not your full gig. You're not putting everything in front of them. Like, whereas Herity is the minute, I'm pulling the piss here. I've met him only a couple of times. He seems like the kind of fella that can, that is, has great old banter, can take a joke, give a joke. And I can imagine when you meet him, you give him a good hour going over about being involved in Tipperary.
Well, the thing is, you nearly wouldn't, because Herity's sharp, so he'd take the legs from under you. So yeah, he is. Yeah, Jesus, he's a sharp man. So you'd want to, when you're having a few pints of Hero, you'd want to box clever, because I mean that from a metaphor point of view. No, he's a sharp man. He wouldn't spare you now. He'd cut the legs from under you. But he's with Tipperary, for anyone who didn't know. Ex-Kilkenny goalkeeper David Herity with Tip.
And what would you do if Liam Cahill came knocking next year and said, look, Murph, need a bit of hand with our defence, would you come in and give us a hand? What would you do?
No, I couldn't. I wouldn't be able to do it.
And even though half your household is Tipperary.
Half me. Yeah, well... The thing is now, like, I suppose I might as well bring it up now. I don't know. I'm looking here to sit and see if she's listening. But, she cheers for Tip, and sure, on you go. Like, Tipperary were playing yesterday, she cheers for Tip. But that's just, I have to remind myself every so often. I have to remind myself. It's like, oh, yeah, okay. She's born in Tipperary. She can cheer Tip.
Yeah, and roughly say, God,
it's tough, though.
God willing, if the family ever multiplies, it'll be half Tipperary.
No. I can't do it. their feet will touch Kilkenny's soil first. But it's like, did you watch?
That straight away.
Did you watch GA Plus at the weekend for Kilkenny, or not Kilkenny, Clare and Tipperary? And they went to, it was Bubbles, Richie Hogan and Owen Cadigan. And sure, like it's just everywhere, like, you know, between the Kilkenny Tipperary rivalry. And when they went back to after the game, they said, Richie Hogan, what did you think of that? And Richie goes, oh, yeah, whatever. And next scene, sure, Bubbles goes, why did you go to Kilkenny, lad, first year, Tipperary after? Like, he couldn't even give that over. He was like, why did you go to Kilkenny, lad, first, when he could have went to the Tipperary, lad? So it's like, the smallest bit of ground to be given just cannot be given.
Take it back. Yeah.
Just take it back, yeah. But anyway, on a positive note, we'll leave it there for this week. So we are, as we said, we'll be back. We'll, two wills. Will be back for the members pod. All going well. And
that's if you want him back, Noel. If you want him back,
this is the other side of it. It's we're starting to get into a groove here now, but I'm afraid no, we need him back. I think we need him back.
I actually noticed more halfway through the podcast, your accent changed. You became more polished.
I'm harnessing.
You started getting
my Will O'Callaghan here. Yeah. I don't know what it is. It's just when the pressure's on you, you're like, I feel one of us has to put an off the ball spin on this, or a Will O'Callaghan spin on it. But we will be answered. There's a few questions came in as well. For Will, I feel we'll be feeling those towards us. We'll be back in our natural habitat, left and right, for the video listeners. We'll be back left and right of Will in the members pod. But for this week on the free pod, James Cahill, we'll say good luck.
Good luck.
Good luck.
God bless, lads. Ladies.